Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 16th of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
My name's Tim McCarthy, I'm 44 and I'm from Belfast.
And how are you doing today?
Sleepy, very sleepy. I have a one-year-old in the hotel room who's been up all night making noise and singing, so it's now about 9:15 on Sunday morning and I'm absolutely wrecked. But I think adrenaline will kick in about half an hour when I hear the cherry picker cranking up.
And how did you initially hear about the project?
It was through the press, I think it was, perhaps on Sky News or something. I mean, obviously I was aware of Anthony Gormley's work. I'm an artist myself, so I am aware of some of the work that he's done before. So my ears pricked up when I heard about One and Other on, I think it was the news, yeah.
And what was it that actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
Being part of history. As I said in my profile on the website, you know, I'm no Big Brother wannabe, I don't normally do this kind of thing, but being a fan of Anthony and figurative art and so on, it was an opportunity with very simple application process. I thought no more of it, and I almost passed out when I got confirmation that I'd been selected. So I was delighted, and for the last couple of weeks it's just been running on adrenaline, one idea after another, you know, and running them by family and friends, discarding things because they're impractical, illegal, logistically difficult, you know. So here we are, it's the moment of truth.
So you just said you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about your art, how long you've been doing it for, what you create, how you kind of do things?
Well, I run an art and design services business back in Belfast. We kind of act as an agency for artists. We supply artists for very specific projects, from the likes of caricaturing at corporate events and weddings through to large pieces of public art for commission through city councils, arts council, that kind of thing. My speciality is aerosol art. I would work quite a lot with groups of socially excluded youths, trying to engage them in something creative, something relevant to their age group, and something relevant to their kind of that youth culture, you know. So we bring graffiti workshops to them, and it gets them working in a team and teaches them lifetime educational skills, raises their self-esteem, teaches them about civic and environmental and personal responsibility, you know. So that's what I specialize in, although I do other things as well, but I enjoy it most.
Okay. So can I just take you back to how you actually got into that, wanting to work with youths and that kind of marginalised section of society?
Well, it was by default, really. I had been working quite a lot with disabilities, doing other kinds of art projects. I'd always done murals, and I picked up aerosols quite a few years ago as a very kind of immediate way of producing murals. With a paint and a brush, the variety of colours that you can get in a spray can, the variety of fades and shades that you can do with a spray can that you can't do with a paintbrush, and I just found it was a very immediate way to produce large pieces of art very quickly. And as I say, youth groups, city councils and kind of thing bought into that and thought there's a niche, there's a way of engaging young people that we can't get to do anything positive, you know. So it was evolution more than anything. It wasn't by design or choice.
Yeah. And how is your work normally received by these kids?
Well, I mean, it's received by the kids, obviously. As I say, it's relevant to their age and their kind of culture, so they love it. They see it as a way of getting free spray paint, although we provide a very controlled environment, you know. And the amount of repeat work we get through councils and youth groups and so on is kind of testament to how effective it actually is, you know. We rely quite a lot on word of mouth and repeat work, so you know, it's very tangible seeing how effective you actually are if you're asked back the following year to run another project.
Yeah. And how effective do you think the workshops have been so far?
Well, I mean, I have quite a lot of press back home because of these workshops. You know, we're generally in the press once a week or once every couple of weeks through what we do. Aerosol and graffiti art, by its very nature, is illegal. And when people see that it's, you know, everyone has an opinion of it. You take a train journey anywhere and you see crap tagging going on, you know, and we try to be the antidote to that. We try to provide sort of quality artworks, and as I say, in a very controlled environment. And it has a knock-on effect. It not only works with the individuals, the participants themselves, but also the wider public. They can see young people being engaged in something creative and positive in their own community, and also provide something visual, sort of eye candy for that community, you know, rather than run down dirty walls with maybe homophobic or sectarian graffiti. We cover it and provide something relevant to that community, created by the young people within that community.
And the graffiti that you're teaching, is that, so that's encouraged in a controlled environment?
Yeah.
So they're not encouraged to do it themselves out of the workshop?
No, I mean, part of the criticism of teaching, I mean, people say that you're basically training vandals of the future, but as I said earlier, they're a big part of our program is civic and environmental and personal responsibility. So obviously if you're spraying paint into the atmosphere, you know, it's not great for the atmosphere. We set ourselves up as a green company, so we offset quite a bit of that. We use paint that's lead and solvent free as well, and we teach all these things to the young people, as well as seeking permission from the owner of the wall or whatever to actually work on, you know, that. And you know, you can show them, if you're working with a professional artist for a day or a week, the results are so much better than stealing around in the dead of night down the train station and writing your name really badly in the dark, you know. So it works in loads of different levels, and we've never had any complaints, you know, in all the years we've been doing it. All we've had is, you know, positive feedback from all concerned. You know, as I say, arts councils, city councils, youth groups, education and library boards.
What is your opinion on tagging and dubbing?
Tagging?
Tagging.
Yeah, I don't
tagging
like it.
Without kind of the artistic side.
Yeah, but I'm absolutely personally against it, simply because I just don't see any artistic merit. It is just, it's pure antisocial behaviour. I mean, tagging now is being taken into art galleries. People are covering canvases with their tags, especially if you've got a reputation as an artist. Some of the more famous graffiti artists can sell their tags, basically. But young people practicing on walls, I just think it just gives graffiti and visual art a bad name.
And can I ask you a little bit about how you got into graffiti work?
Well, I'd always had an interest in what I suppose you would call the dark underbelly of society, you know, what kind of alternative cultures were doing within society. And I was always part of that myself. So I just put that, plus the fact I was interested and participated in the visual arts, put them together. It was a very easy marriage. And as I say, professionally, it was more of an evolution than a career choice of picking up a spray can. It was just, it made my job a lot easier when I was creating murals, you know.
So what exactly are you planning on doing today?
Do I have to tell you? Well, it's basically, as I said, I had gone through several weeks of wrecking my brain and sleepless nights about what I was going to do. So what I have settled on is very simple. It's an answer to the guy that was up quite early in the project that had the blackboard, craving for ice cream. And one of the things he wrote on the blackboard was, "Is it art?" And that kind of set my mind off, as well as Anthony Gormley himself saying he doesn't care if it's art, it is a spectacle. Well, today what I'm going to do is get up. I have a t-shirt with printed, "This is not art, this is just a bloke standing here" on it. And on the back of the t-shirt it says, "Andy Warhol was wrong, I got an R." I'll also be colouring in with some crayons in a colouring book, some pictures of kittens.
And can you talk me through that? Why have you chosen colouring in,
white kittens? Well, I mean, I'd chosen colouring in as probably the simplest form of art, and obviously the people that are standing in the square don't know what you're at. They can see you engaged in some kind of artistic activity. So I'd like to think that I could fool the people on the ground, thinking I'm probably doing, you know, some kind of landscape drawing of the surrounding area, or perhaps some portraits of the people standing watching, when in fact I'm just colouring in kittens. I just thought, because people have been tried to be so arty on the top, I think the pressure has been on them. And, you know, if you're watching the programme on Friday with Clive Anderson at all, you know, the pressure is on from the critics and the celebrities that have on. And oh, it's so boring, you know, why are we so middlingly? Why can't we do something else? And people have been, I think, put under unnecessary pressure to try and be very arty. And I'm just trying to be the antidote to the whole thing without being too boring. You know, I could just stand in a t-shirt, but I actually want to do something visual. And obviously anyone on the internet will be able to see what's going on because they have the benefit of the camera behind me.
Yeah. So what exactly are you taking up with you onto those?
A colouring book and a packet of crayons and my iPod if I need it. If the heckling gets too much, I'll just crank up the volume and ignore the great British public.
And are you doing today, are you doing it for anybody in particular?
The world? This is about the world? No, I'm doing it for myself as much as anything. I have a 1-year-old daughter who's going to be here, and she's too young to appreciate what's going on, so it's a kind of legacy for her as well. There's obviously a hope that she would be involved in the arts in some way, if she gets anything from me at all, if I've been a good parent. Some of it will have rubbed off in years to come, and I'd just like to leave some kind of artistic legacy behind it she can be proud of, you know?
Yeah. So, can I just ask you a little bit about, I know you're a very arty individual, your other interests?
Baseball. I, until quite recently, played for the Belfast team. Art. More art. I'm a big fan of the Renaissance, so anything I'm interested in kind of stops at the end of the Renaissance and then picks up in New York in the 70s with graffiti, and anything in between is... I'm not really into. I'm very against performance art and video installation. I don't, well, being controversial, don't really regard them as legitimate art forms. They're too easy. But having said that, I'm going to be doing performance art on the top today, so kind of contradicting myself. But generally, people that do performance for a living, I have a fundamental problem with. Perhaps it was because at art college, you know, I was knocking my pan in doing a degree in goldsmithing, which involved quite a lot of coursework, and the performance art department kind of sat in the student gym bar and tried to dream up concepts over a free drink. Art would be all encompassing. Art.
Yeah. And you just mentioned the fact that you trained as a goldsmith?
A degree in three-dimensional applied and decorative art, which was fundamentally goldsmithing, but we were such a poor art college and I was such a poor individual that couldn't really afford the raw material, so what I did was spent most of my time designing. So that's my love of illustration, which then morphed into doing murals and so on, illustration on a larger scale, you know.
Yeah.
So God knows what I'm going to be doing 10 years time, because the whole thing keeps evolving, you know. I may even be a performance artist.
Yeah.
Nah. Not.
And you said you have a very keen interest in the Renaissance.
Yeah.
Any particular reason? What is it about it?
Oh God, I suppose the purity of it. It was untainted. It's the days when, you know, life is so much simpler, and, you know, they used art as a visual way of educating people who perhaps couldn't read, especially with religious pictures. And I've got... you know, Leonardo da Vinci's birth and death tattooed on my arms. Look at them every day, and it sets the bar quite high for what I do, you know, artistically. I just wake up in the morning, first two things I see are the two dates tattooed on my arms, and think I've got to be the best I can, you know. So I love the Renaissance. I just love pure art, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what that was for.
Yeah, born and died. Yeah.
Okay. And Da Vinci, is that one of your kind of greatest... artist?
Yeah, well, he probably would be the greatest all-time artist, simply because he wasn't only an artist, he was also a great thinker and inventor and so on. And, you know, that's where they created the term Renaissance man, because you can do work on so many levels, which I know women would criticise because they can see men only being able to do one thing at a time. But Da Vinci was an absolute master, and his name at the time was Il Maestro, you know, and for a very good reason.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, in your art, what kind of style do you have? Do you incorporate slightly more traditional elements?
No, not at all. I mean, my art would probably come from the day spent illustrating. I still keep a lot of sketchbooks, so it's more of a illustrative style done on a large scale. I try and do as much figurative work as possible. So, I mean, I don't really call myself a graffiti artist as such. That's a label that is put on by other people. As an aerosol artist or a muralist, you know.
Okay.
And as I say, it's all kind of illustrative and figurative.
Okay. And what can I ask what you think about... Banksy.
That old one. Well, I personally think he's a genius. Although people have said he's derivative from a guy that came before, Black Lerat and people like that. And but it's still, I mean, he still makes me laugh, and that's what art should be about. You know, it should be being able to interact with the art regardless of, you know, if people have gone before, because very little original art in the world, you know. Banksy, great. But I'm just worried in the direction that he's going in. I think he's just getting a wee bit too out there, you know.
Yeah. And just to go back to your hour, ultimately, what kind of experience are you wanting to get out of today?
It's very personal. I mean, I know that there's been 3 million odd hits on the internet, and it'd be really difficult to be honest and say it's a private matter, you know, because there are so many people watching and because of the surrounding publicity. But it is, it's I suppose, if anything, is to make me feel better about myself. Not that I feel bad about myself, but I just want to say I was part of that, you know. When it's mentioned in 20 years' time, I just want to be able to say I was part of that. And, I mean, looking out of my hotel room last night, I actually saw one of Anthony's sculptures on the roof of one of the buildings beside us, and again, nearly passed out. It's all just so close and so intermingled, and I just want to be a part of it.
And have you been following the project since the beginning?
I have, yeah. I mean, not religiously. I'm tuning in a couple of times a week to see who's up there. Sort of occasionally click on someone else's profile. And, you know, I am interested in it. And obviously, my ears prick up every time it's mentioned. But we record and watch the Sky Arts programme every week. Same all so far, just to give me an idea. And obviously, it helps when you come up with an idea to see that it hasn't been done before. You know, I think the worst thing would probably be getting up there and just repeating something that someone has done previously, because you've missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I also ask a little bit about where you're from? You come over from Ireland, didn't you?
Belfast, yeah.
Yeah. And have you lived over in Belfast all of your life?
I lived in London for a while, lived in Holland for a while, lived in America for a while, but all relatively short periods, you know, up to a year each. Belfast, my home. I love Belfast. It's a very changing city. It's not the same as it was 10 years ago. We have a lot of tourists in Belfast, which I'm quite proud of, because they're coming now for all the right reasons. They're not coming for the legacy of the Troubles. They're coming because the nightlife's good. Dining out's good. Entertainment's good. It's a beautiful city to come to. I'm very, very proud of it.
Yeah. And what's the kind of graffiti scene like in Belfast?
It's very small. It's in Northern Ireland generally, it's very small. Everyone knows everyone else. It's very creative as well, but it's just when you're dealing with, you know, trying to get legal walls and so on, and the powers that be don't really regard it as sometimes a legitimate art form. You know, they'd rather pump their money into something else, so they get me to work at the, I wouldn't call it the bottom end, but certainly, you know, not the highbrow end of things, you know, with the youth groups. But there are very few people doing it professionally.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's it.